Welcome to Awaken to Grace, and in today's episode, we are in part two of our current sermon on Will a Man Rob God? Our thought is from Malachi chapter 3. We're answering the question, what does it mean for us to rob God? Well, you know, the Bible helps us answer this with amazing clarity, and that's what we're aiming to do today, is really understand what happens when we withhold from the Lord and what that really means from God's perspective. So I hope you find today's sermon incredibly encouraging as well as very clear, and I hope you learn a great deal out of our talk today. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Awaken to Grace.
It doesn't take any faith to give what's left. It takes faith to give the first. Do you see? Do you understand what I'm saying? It honors God with faith to say, God, I recognize that everything I own, everything I receive, everything I have comes from you. 2 Corinthians 9 says that God even gives seed to the sower. Even what we have, the ability to work a job, the health to go to work, the mental capacity to earn an income. I don't care what stage you're at or what level you're at. You have been you have been gifted by God. And our responsibility is to bring the tenth, to bring that first fruit and say, God, this belongs to you. It's not mine. And when we don't do that, when you're like I have been for a long time, when you have the best of intentions, and I believe that's what, I mean, I think that's who I'm really talking to today. The ones who go, it's not at all that I wouldn't, it's that I can't. No. Let's change our thinking. Listen to this. This is how I've had to change my thinking. God says in Malachi 3, verse 9, in verse 8, he says, you've robbed me. How have I robbed you, you say? Through tithes and offerings. And listen to what he says. This is fascinating. He says, there's a curse on you. A curse. See, God wants to bless us. God wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour blessings on us. But do you know why he can't do that for many of us? Because we're withholding the tithe. We're withholding the 10% of whatever revenue we earn. Well, listen to this, okay? Now, I've had to change my thinking. I've had to sit down and go, okay, if I earn $100, how much of that belongs to God? Some of you math whiz, help me. Until the ones who are good at math, they're like $10. Come on, you know this. $10 belongs to the Lord. And do you know how I read Malachi 3:9 for me personally now? I read it in this way. I would rather have $90 with God honoring it and God blessing it than to have $100 without His blessing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, it's easy when you calculate $100 because, I mean, what's $10? But when you calculate your income, when you calculate your investments, when you calculate what God has truly given you, and then you understand God says in Malachi 3, bring the whole tithe to me, then that's when it gets really hard. Am I right or am I wrong? That's when it gets difficult. And that's where we have to understand we are not robbing God of so many hundreds or even so many thousands of dollars. What we're robbing God of is the opportunity, the ability to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings in which we cannot even contain it. Amen? Oh, I want those blessings on my life. Not just my work, not just my church, not just my ministry. I want them on my life. And I can't withhold the tithe. I have to understand. I have to recognize. I have to say, God, this belongs to you. And even in times that it feels like it's not enough, well, you know what? God gives seed to the sower. I don't even have seed without God giving it to me. Amen? When you're a tither, God's going to take care of you. I had a single mom come up to me some time ago in the church, and she's a tither. She's a very faithful tither. And she's a single mom, and her car began to tear up. And she came up to me and said, Pastor Chad, will you pray for me for a new car? Mine's about to go, and I don't know what to do. And you know what I told her? I said, I don't need to pray for you. You're a tither. And God's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. God's going to help you. God's going to take it. You've taken care of his business. God's going to take care of your business. Amen? And it wasn't but maybe a couple weeks or a month later, she came up to me so excited and said, oh, you wouldn't believe what God did for me. And God gave her the car she needed. Amen? There was a family in our church that I had the opportunity of marrying a while ago. They're a young family. They got real young kids. They got several kids. And, you know, they're young. They're young. And they're in that stage of life where they need every dollar they can get for their family. But they committed to tithe. And they wrote me a note. And they said, Pastor Chad, I can't remember what, you know, it was a week or two after, however it was. They said, we tithed that week, and they do e-giving. And they said, we knew that when we tithed, we won't get paid for another 2 weeks. And they said it left us with $10 in our bank account. $10. And they said, we didn't know what to do. They thought, is it better to withhold the tithe and take care of our family, or is it better to trust God and tithe? And they said, we felt like God wanted us to tithe. So we did. You know what that makes me feel like as a pastor? When they told me that, I saw their e-giving and I wanted to give it back to them. I wanted to say, no. We're fine. Here, take this back. But see, that's not the point. That's not the point. The church could do or not do with that. It didn't matter. God's going to help us. What would have happened if I had said, no, here, take this back? I would have robbed God of the opportunity to bless them. They said, we tithed, we had $10 in our bank account. $10 for 2 weeks for our large family. And they had gotten married, and I had the opportunity to marry them. I had a relative they hadn't seen in years and years and years and didn't come to the wedding. And all of a sudden, they got a letter in the mail, and that relative had mailed them $500 as a gift. Amen. Listen, we don't give to get. I mean, that's not, don't think if you tithe this morning, you're going to be like, all right, I'm going to check my mail and they're going to be $500. I mean, no. You're spiritually more mature than that, right? We don't give to get. But listen, when we give, God shows his faithfulness, doesn't he? There was an old farmer one time, and boy, I tell you, everything he touched was blessed. His neighbor watched him. Neighbor couldn't figure it out. His neighbor kept thinking, man, everything this guy does is blessed. He's got so much joy. He's got so much peace in his home. God's blessed him in material things. I mean, he's just, everything he touches is blessed. How does he do it? So one day they're standing at the fence post that separated their properties. And the neighbor asked the old farmer, he said, can I ask you a question? What's the secret to how blessed you are in life? And you know what the old farmer told him? The old farmer said, well, he said, I'm a giver. I give to God. And he said, what I've learned is when I shovel into God's business, God shovels right back into mine. And he said, you know the secret I learned? The neighbor said, yeah, what? The old farmer said, I've learned that God has a much bigger shovel than I do. And he does. God wants to help us. He wants to open the windows of heaven for you. He wants to pour out blessings on me that there's not room enough to contain it. He wants to rebuke the devourer for my sake. God wants to do supernatural work in my life. But God says, you've robbed me though. Robbed you of what? You've robbed me of the opportunity to bless you like I want to. Let's don't rob God any longer. Let's set aside the tenth. And you have to search your heart with this. Is that the tenth of, you know, people are so funny. They've asked me in the past, was that on net or gross? Some people have multiple streams of income. Is that on my base income or is that on all the streams? Is that on my investment? Listen. You figure that out with God. All I can tell you is a while ago, Sadie and I made the decision, we're not going to rob God anymore. And since we made that decision, I'm telling you, God has blessed us. And we have more today, not because my income is up, not because I'm making more money. We have more today because God honors the tithe. Now, in closing today, I want to talk to a different group. I've talked to those who are strapped, those who have all the best intentions, but it's not that I wouldn't, it's that I can't. No, you can. With God's help, with God's enablement, with the right system in place, with the right discipline in place, you can. Remember, you're better to have $90 blessed and honored by God than to have $100 that's cursed. You can. Now, let me talk to those who are in the category who do give faithfully and regularly. And I'm so thankful after all these years, I'm in that category now. I'm glad I'm among all of you who you've given. You've done the tenth and you know how God's blessed you. Let me ask a question to us today. What's the next step? Is what God would require of us the tithe, the tenth, or would God require more? Well, let me tell you what I want to learn this year. I want to grow my capacity. I want to expand my capacity for generosity. And while we finally got the right system, the right discipline, and it's automatic, it's week after week, week after week, and now I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to be like, oh, I got, if I do this, I can't do that. No, it's just automatic, like clockwork. Now that that's down, let me tell you where I want to grow. Let me tell you where I want to go. I want to take the training wheels off of my giving. The tenth, the tithe, that's the training wheels. That's bare minimum of what God asked me. No, I want to go into 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn there if you would and just mark it in your Bibles because you need to really read and you need to really ponder 2 Corinthians 9 verses 6 to verse 15. And for those of you that, you've understood this for a while and, you know, you do tithe and you do participate in that and you say, you know what, I mean, hey, I can testify. God's been faithful. I can testify. God's been good to me. God has helped me. Okay, well, what's the next step? Because, again, the way I'm viewing my life, tithing is the training wheels. No. I want to take the training wheels off and I want to learn generosity. So what is generosity? Well, notice what Paul says. Verse number 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So the point is this. Here's the conclusion of what he's saying. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, this is what I love about this. The principles, the laws of giving, of sowing and reaping and generosity. You know what I love is the fact that a principle works for everyone. So think about this. I don't care what education level you are today. It don't matter how much or how little education you have today. God has the ability to bless you. I don't care what stage of life you're in. You may be a high school student that it's your first job and you work part-time and you make $20 a week. Hopefully not, but I don't know. Maybe that's what you do. I don't care if you're in the stage of life where your children are young and it takes every single dollar and then some, and you're like, man, we're not even going on vacation because we don't have enough extra money. Listen, God has the ability to bless you. I don't care if you're in the stage of life where your kids are in college and you're empty nesters and, you know, it's a huge transition in your life. Listen, God has the ability to bless you. I don't care if you're in those beautiful years of retirement today and you've done well and you've saved and you've put back and now you're blessed. God has the ability to bless you. These principles, doesn't matter what education level, it doesn't matter what stage of life. Listen, it doesn't matter what income level you're at. If your head's barely above water and it wouldn't take much to drown. And I've been there. I know. Let me tell you this real quick, because again, it's important to me that you don't look at me and go, well, yeah, you do it because you can't afford it. No. Let me tell you, I know. There was one point where I leased this building for the church. I leased the building on Netherland End Road for the bookstore, and I leased my apartment. And I went to all three landlords, not really the church landlord, but the business and the apartment. And I told them, I said, listen, I've got three leases due every single month. I got three power bills, three water bills, multiple insurance payments, premiums. I cannot pay all three of you all in one month. Someone's going to be a little late, but I will make it happen. And I did. And those people were good to me. And if I couldn't get it all within that month, they would let me, you know. But again, see, I look back. If I had just set aside the 10th, I don't think I would have struggled as hard. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter what income level you are. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. And it certainly doesn't matter what education level you have. God has the ability to open the windows of heaven over you and your family and bless your life. He has that ability. So notice what he says, verse number 6. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. That's the law of giving. That's the law of sowing and reaping. It's a law, it's a principle, and it will work for you. And then he said, but don't give grudgingly or out of obligation. Don't give under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. See, you can disqualify this by being grudgingly about it. So, here's what he says. Help me. What's the next verse say? Oh, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Praise God. Having all sufficiency in all things at all times, that you may abound in every good work. Then he goes on and says, he'll give seed to the sower and bread to the hungry, and God provides these things. And then he ends with something extraordinary, verse 15, and thanks be unto God for his inexpressible gift, which we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, think about this. You know what Jesus is called in the Bible? Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus is called the first fruits. You know what God did? God gave Jesus as a tithe. God gave his son. God gave first before we ever believed. Amen? So my question to you today, those of you who you faithfully give, are you generous? Are you generous? Does God want to increase your generosity? You know, when I think of being generous, I think of these Bibles to Pakistan that we're sending. That needs generosity. I think of our beloved pastor in Egypt. He and his beautiful family, and they only earn $90 a month. What would $20 extra a month do for them? Generosity, not tithe. That tithe belongs to the Lord. Generosity. Let's grow this year. Let's expand. And if you're someone, let me say this and then I'll be finished. Are you with me right now? Let me say this and then I'll be finished. There are two things that we have to learn as God's people. Two things. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And if we're going to walk with the Lord in the way in which pleases Him in these dealings of our income and our earnings and all that, there's two things we have to learn. And I want you to write them down if you're taking notes. Number one is stewardship. Number two is generosity. God cannot bless the one without the other. So think about this. If you're someone that you are very generous, but you don't know how to steward money, how can God bless you with more? You'll lose it. You'll waste it. It'll slip right through your fingers. It's not just generosity, it's stewardship. But those of you who can steward really well, aka those of you who are tight, how many of you are married to somebody tight? It's all right. We'll do marriage counseling later. How many of you are married to somebody tight? But you're not generous. How can God trust you with more blessings? Do you see how it takes both? And some are really strong in one area, but not the other. And you can see how if we're strong in one and not in the other, we're still lacking, right? No, I want to grow to where, yes, I'm a good steward, and yes, I'm generous. Let me tell you what God's helping me with right now. The guy that does my finances, we are great friends. We're really close, really good friends, and he set my IRA up. If I told you how much I put into an IRA every week, you would laugh at me. Every month. I've got to figure out how to begin working toward, because I don't have a 401k or anything like that. And so I'm getting to the age now, I really need to get serious about that and begin putting back. Because doesn't the Bible teach good stewardship in that way? Look to the ant, not the sluggard, right? The Bible says divide your portions into seven because you don't know the calamity that's coming upon the earth. That means investing. You should go back and listen to that sermon on investing from 2-3 years ago, from the Right on the Money series. So where I've been on this other side of the ditch where I'm not doing it as good as I should be, my friend came, and we always laugh, and we're like, yeah, we're going to get together and talk about my finances. Well, that takes like 5 minutes, and then after that, we just hang out and talk about our families, so it don't take real long to cover it. But he's going to help me figure out a path that I can do better in this. Well, and praying about this and asking God, what do you think I need and what should I do and what's the right thing to do, Lord? Let me tell you what the Lord reminded me of this week. And this is a word for some of you. The Lord said, yes, put back. Yes, absolutely. You're wise to do that. But here's what the Lord began to minister to me. Don't focus on building a reservoir. Focus on being a river that I can flow blessings through you. Some of you have built large reservoirs. Oh, you're wise for what you've done. You've done well, and God's helped you, and God's blessed you. But here's my question to you. Are you a river of generosity? Don't just be a reservoir. Be a river. Take the training wheels off. And some of us need to figure out this year how we're going to do that. We need to figure out what God would speak to us, what God would say to us, to take the training wheels off and to really begin to walk in generosity.
Do you use a streaming device at home or at work? Simply say, hey Google, play Awaken to Grace with Chad Roberts podcast. And listen to our weekly podcast that is the current sermon that I preach each week at Preaching Christ Church.